Game for Thought Podcast. Reflections on ethics and gaming. With Ruth and Manu.
Hi everyone, we're Ruth
and Manu.
Who, as many others, like to game and use social media. This podcast is based on the Game for Thought live stream organized by Digital Arts and Entertainment, and here we discuss ethics in video games. Our goal is to make these topics discussable and maybe provide some new insights. Every game mentioned in this podcast will be in the show notes, so be sure to check those out if you're like, oh, that sounds interesting. As you might have guessed already, this podcast is about social media and privacy in video games.
Yeah, so Ruth, how active are you on social media?
I'm extremely active on social media.
I know.
For those of you who already came to follow me on Twitter, I'm so sorry. I post everything on there, but like everything.
Yeah, we're very different in that regard. I mean, I used to be the same. Exactly the same. I used to live my life on social media, basically, until I was like, you know what? This is not healthy. I'm just going to have a cleanse. And then I deleted all of my socials, basically. I just went full, like, cold turkey social media. I stopped using it. And then I remade some accounts, but still, I still use it. And I'm still active on it. But it's not as huge.
Manon is that person who doesn't tweet for weeks and then suddenly tweets something like, my chicken nuggets were delicious, or something like that, something super weird. And it's always very funny.
If my chicken nuggets are delicious, everyone should know about it. I have not tweeted that, by the way. This is a completely made up tweet. The stuff I do tweet is a lot less.
A lot less what?
Wholesome. But yeah, no, yeah, I am absolutely that person. Sometimes I'll be like super active, other times you won't see me for months. And
this weekend I made like 20,000 tweets. Mm-hmm. Just this weekend, because first one was for school, all the others were not for school.
Yeah, but that's another thing, right? Like, you have two accounts. Well, you had two accounts. And you decided to merge them together.
Yeah, one of them was for school, because we were forced to make an account for school, because you're a journalist, you need to advertise yourself out there. So I made one of those. And then I also had my gaming account, which is the one I advertise on here. And on that gaming account, I had way more connections and all that in video game journalism as well. So to me, it made no sense to have a journalism account and then a game account where I had more connections in journalism.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I merged them together, and it was a bit weird at first because I was like, oh no, no, oh,
that's
my,
like, two worlds
no
colliding.
All my classmates and my teachers can see my stupid game addiction and what I play and all that. But at this point, I'm kind of just like, the unfollow button is right there. They can just click it.
That's also another thing we are so different with, right? I made a professional Twitter. I have not, like, tweeted anything on it. No one knows about it. There's, like, one person following me. It's one of my teachers. Shout out. But, yeah, like, we're so different in that way. Like, how you... It's more like a privacy thing, right? You don't really care about, like, people online knowing everything there is to know about, you know, your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, I'm more of a... It's not like I don't want people to know what I'm doing. I don't really care. But for me, I definitely do have a very, like, strong online persona versus a real life persona, if that makes sense. I think a lot of people will actually relate to
that. I think I'm also a bit different online than I am in real life, just because I want to at least have a bit of a standard.
Whoa, okay.
No, but like, on one side I have like super serious tweets. Like, I posted some serious tweets yesterday about some discourse that's happening in the gaming industry and all that. And I wanted to give my two cents on that. But at the same time, I also tweeted yesterday about how I want my sister to suffer while playing the first season of The Walking Dead. So there's two entirely different things there. But at the same time, I don't want to tweet. Like, I also have a private account where like, entirely private, that's locked off entirely, that's where the stupid stuff goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I mean, it's not like I have a different persona. It's more like I don't necessarily want those two worlds to merge. It's kind of like the same way how you should keep your work life and your personal life private. And to me, like, that's kind of like the principle here.
The thing is I have other social media where I can,
yeah,
like on, no one knows about my, well, you know, but no one knows about my Tumblr, for example. Yeah, that's where I go and vent. No one follows me there anyway. I have like 2 followers or something. So that's the venting place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my Twitter is then like more, I wouldn't say professional because it's not really, but
you
it's...
do, no, like, okay, but this is a funny thing about, like, I've noticed about you tweeting. You tweet and like with like punctuation and you use the correct grammar.
Difficult words.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, you are very professional on Twitter. Meanwhile, I like, I don't know, just blurt whatever. Like, people will read my tweets and be like, who the hell is this person? Like, what does she want? And that's kind of like where we differ. And that's also why
I hate hitting word count and having
to... Yeah, you definitely...
I'm like one of those people and I hit word count and I look at this tweet and I'm like, I'm going to have to split it up. I can't shorten words. I'm not doing that. I'm not erasing that comma. It has to go like this.
You know me, like none of my tweets are like grammatically correct. They're spelling mistakes everywhere. And I think that's why I don't want that kind of like... I guess persona. I guess you could call it like a persona. I don't want that persona to merge with like my professional career. Because obviously if I want to continue... going into like journalism or anything like professional, if people would see my social media presence, they'd be like, no, I do not want to hire her. In fact,
I do want to clarify something. Before I merged my 2 accounts, my gaming account, I deleted all tweets, but like all tweets.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a gazillion tweets on there, and I waited like half an hour before this website deleted them for me. But yeah, I was like, I don't want. If anyone's like from a class or from a teacher's who starts scrolling through my account, I was like, nah, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not risking that.
Yeah.
So
all
of it went, and then I just was like, okay, this is fine now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's funny because it's not necessarily like I ever tweet something that's like so like weird or out there to where people would be like, oh my god. But it's just
it feels personal, doesn't it?
It's incredibly personal. And that's the thing. I've grown up. Online, like since I was 10, I've been part of these internet forums, right? Back then, it wasn't really like in 2006, there was social media, but it was like
MSN.
It was like baby steps, right? Like you had MySpace, but that wasn't really huge here. We had Netlock. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, we had that. We had MSN Messenger.
I was never allowed Netlock or MSN, and I was always upset about it.
That was insanely huge. But yeah, I was part of these internet forums, and that's how you like discussed fandoms and games and stuff, and like got your cheat codes for Grand Theft Auto from or whatever. So yeah, like, and ever since I've had like a huge, I guess, social media presence, and I've grown up online, and I've always had that persona of where I could truly like be myself, right?
Yeah.
You're online, everyone like you talk to is someone that likes the same things you do.
Yeah.
You enter these communities where you're like, yeah, I can be myself, like completely fine, everyone. And these people don't know me. There's
I thought... That was the thing. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, it was Tumblr. That was my first big social media thing. Yeah. And I liked that there was this wall.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Like, no one knew who I was. I was, like, 13 years old at the time. I was way too young to be on social media, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I was 10, so.
I liked the thing about everyone here accepts me because...
Yeah,
we like the same stuff, which was new to me because no one I knew in real life was into this kind of stuff. So that was accepting to me. But at the same time, I loved it that they didn't know me. And there was this distance.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool when I grew up.
Yeah, it's like a double...
Yeah, they knew things about me that I wouldn't tell my parents.
Yeah,
but...
that's so true. It's like, it's so funny how you're like, well, they don't know me in real life and I don't know who I am, but like, then
they
again, you overshare.
Yeah, you overshare so details much. About me that I
think
was
it's,
like...
I think it's easier to like overshare in a way to like people that you don't know in real life because you're like, what are they going to do?
There's
a distance. There's a, like a physical and like, you know, and they won't... They might judge you for it, but, like, who cares, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, these people know me in real life. I'm going to have to see them. No, like... And it's definitely a lot easier. And I was the exact same way. You know, people...
I think lots of... lots of people our age recognize this.
Yeah, this is very... And, like, especially if you're, like, part of these internet communities, I think this is very recognizable. And, yeah, like, I had people... I had friends in real life at school and stuff, and they knew a lot about me. It's not like I was hiding or like keeping secrets, but there was still like kind of like you know, there are some things where they just don't get, right? If you're into something, you know, whether it's like gaming or like, for example, anime or like K-pop, like all of these like huge internet things where it's like you can't explain them to people in real life, but if not part of the community,
it's different.
It's very different.
Yeah, it's like a thing. It's weird. It's like cliche to say, mm-hmm. but they don't understand in a way. And it's, I know that sounds very childish, but still, I always felt that way.
Yeah. Especially when you're like young and when you're, you know, high school age, you're like, you don't want to see.
Oh, everything's difficult. Things are changing. It's just,
Yeah. And you like, that's when I really was like, you know, I have this internet persona and I have this, I guess, real life persona, and they're vastly different, but they're still all me.
Yeah.
It's just like different sides of me. Like, it's not like I was catfishing anyone online, right? I was still me. It was just, I guess, the idealized version of me. Like, I wish I was that open. And then as you know, the older I got, the less I cared about, oh, people can know this about me. Like, they can know I'm into this stuff or that stuff. I don't really mind. And I think with you, you know, obviously you're like, you know what? Completely fine. I'm just going to merge my two Twitters, my two worlds.
That's something that was like a huge jump for me, because mm-hmm. I used to be bullied in high school for liking video games, for liking anime, for liking all that. Mm. So that's why I like completely turned to Tumblr and all that to live that over there. Like, that was my life. My internet life was gaming and anime. And then my real life was like, let's hide all this away. I don't like this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I knew that it was just going to get like comments on it. So then when I got to uni first, I met people who were into this stuff as well, girls who were into this stuff as well, which was wild to me, because all I heard was, you're a girl, you're not supposed to like this stuff. So to meet other girls who were into this was huge and like really eye-opening in a weird way. And then I went to college, like where I met you. And then I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm just going to say it. It's fine. No one's going to be like, ew.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's funny.
It's no big deal.
Yeah, it's funny because it really isn't. I love how we're, like, when you're a teenager, everything seems such a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to conform. You have to, like, be.
You have to fit in. And I was just kind of like, you know what?
It's so funny because, like, especially because, like, gaming and, like, other stuff has become so mainstream, you know? Like even K-pop, when I listened to that stuff in 2010 when I was, like, 14, like, if you told someone,
it was,
like,
weird.
I like K-pop, they'd be like, what the hell is K-pop? But, like, nowadays, everyone has heard about it, right? And it's not something you would get bullied over. I hope not. I don't know. I never got bullied, thankfully. But, yeah, it's so wild how times really change and how internet culture has become so mainstream because everyone uses social media
right now.
Personally,
I love it. That has become so mainstream and all that. For me, it's great. So I don't really see the disadvantages of social. Well, I do understand the disadvantages of social media, but for me, it's mostly been positives and like an escape in a way.
Yeah, it's finding that community, right? There's obviously dangerous sides of social media. I'm thinking of like Instagram, where you see like people living their best lives and you're like, wow, I wish that were me. But like,
Instagram is one of those I almost never use as well.
I Instagram the most, right?
I watch people's stories and that's it. I don't really scroll it. I just watch people's stories. Mm.
I do like Instagram. I use it a lot to post in my story. Usually when I go like on trips or I'm traveling, obviously, right now.
That's the only time. Yeah. When I'm on holiday, I will, I have a separate, like you can save stories in like a separate highlight.
Yes, memories, right?
Yeah, and I have one of those for my trip to Tenerife that I did. And I'm kind of like planning in my head every time I go on holiday to make a separate little one.
Because
I think that's cute.
It's fun and it's good. It's like Instagram has become like the new Facebook in a way with the pictures. Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of Facebook and I deleted my Facebook for various reasons. So I'm glad that we have something else like Instagram now where you can post pictures and like, but then again, there's a lot of danger. You can like see people, you know, all these amazing photos and their lives seem so interesting and
so
much
perfect.
Better, but obviously no one like that's, I think that's a huge difference between like Instagram and then Twitter and Tumblr, where on Twitter and Tumblr you will post like the worst things about your life and like vent and like, you know, find that. And on Instagram it's like, oh, I only have to be the best version of myself. So that's interesting, and that's
definitely is
how I see it. And I do use all of them, but obviously a lot less than I used to before, right?
Yeah, Facebook is the one that just, I have it because my grandma has it and it's the only one she has. Yeah. And she's like, please don't delete your Facebook. I can't see your pictures if you post them to Instagram. So that's literally the only reason I still have it.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
And it just, every time I go on there, I just get angry.
Yeah, that's a whole other story, right? But yeah, like social media, man. I mean, you meet so many people. That's one, we have a quote for that actually. Let's hear the quote first.
Personally, I don't think online friendship is as connecting or as satisfying as real life friendship, to me at least.
Yes, yeah, so we have a lot to say about that. Online friendship. First of all, I don't like the word online friendship.
Cause it's a friendship.
It's a friendship. And we both discussed this outside of the podcast where we've both met people online that we eventually met in real life as well. But even then, ever since I've been part of these internet communities, I've made so many friends. And same. Sure, it's kind of like the same where in real life, where sometimes you lose connections. I've had so many friend groups where I do not talk to them anymore, but I still remember them. I still have fond memories. It's the exact same real life friendships that have died out, but not necessarily because something bad happened.
Just because you stopped talking, so, really.
And interests change, right? But there's those people that, like, despite everything, you still, like, keep connected to. And like I know someone who has seen me through every single like phase I've had all the way from like 2012 to right now. It's been 10 years, you know, and like stuff like that. I don't like when people think that online friendship can be as real as real life friendship or not be as satisfying. I don't really get that.
I have a fun anecdote about, because you said about friendships like fading away.
Yeah.
I had a friend I met through, I think it was Tumblr, who was also into, I used to be into Sherlock, the BBC show. Like, I was a huge fan of Benedict Cumberbatch, all that. I look back and I regret it. It's fine. And she was a huge fan as well. And we started talking. And then we started talking to Facebook, on Facebook as well. And she was from Australia. So yeah. The time zone was very, we talked at the weirdest hours.
Yes.
Anyway, we lost contact for, I don't know why, we stopped talking for some reason. And like last month or 2 months ago, she like sent me a text again and she was like, hey, I got you like recommended on my Facebook again. Did you change accounts or something? And I did change Facebook accounts. And I was like, oh, hey. And then we started talking again. And we even started gaming together. We played Fall Guys together.
That's
and I was
amazing.
Like, this is so weird, but so cool.
It's literally just like finding a lost friendship.
An old friend,
right? It's like meeting an old friend in the streets or something. Yeah.
It was so cool. I was so happy. It was great. And it's hearing about how her life changed as well. It was great.
Oh, absolutely.
It was absolutely amazing.
I mean, we both have like amazing stories. I personally met my best friend online through the internet, you know, like I was looking for people to play games with. I was looking for people to play Overwatch with because I didn't know anyone back then. This was like in 2017 or so. And I met this girl and we started talking, we started gaming, and then she introduced me to her friends. And actually through her, I met my best friend right now and the person that I love the most in this whole world. And it sounds cheesy and it's like, ugh. But yeah, he's been such a huge part of my life for the past like 3.5 years. Yeah, it's been 3.5 years. That's crazy. And I've met him in real life, but even then, like even before we met, it's like, I know this person is my best friend and I don't have to pretend that he's not just because he's an online friend, right? And with you as well, you can tell.
I have an even cheesier story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I met a girl through Tumblr, we started talking. She had a watch. I had a watch. We started
both Overwatch.
It's all Overwatch stories here. We started playing together, and then she was like, "Hey, I have this friend, and he's always in a party on PlayStation with his friends, and we should." He's asked if he wanted to join in, and I was like, "You know what? Sure." And we joined in that party, and then we kept, like, that became, like, the party, basically. If someone was online, started a party, we all started jumping in. Like, every single day, we basically met up there, and that's how I met my fiancé. He was in that party as well.
Yeah.
And then we started talking outside of the party. We still have the very first text that I sent him through PlayStation. Like, because I didn't say goodbye to him. And so I just kind of like went away like that evening, and my Tumblr friend was like, hey, you didn't say goodbye to him. So I was like, I sent him a text via PlayStation. It was fun playing with you. And we still have that screenshot, and it's so dumb.
I mean, yeah, I still have my first messages as well. It's so silly.
If you look back on that, it's so silly. Anyway, we all decided to meet up then eventually in Cardiff, like the entire group. And then like a week after, Adam and I were kind of like, so...
There's something here.
There is something here. But before that, we were already like flirting over the text and all that. It was pretty bad because I later on discovered that he sent screenshots of our conversation to like his friends that were also at that party, and was like, is she flirting with me? Or
boys can be so incredibly dense. And it's not like,
and there were like kisses and hearts on my side and all that. And his female friends were like, dude,
yeah,
are you blind?
That's like the thing about some guys can be so dense, and it's not just like romantic, but like even with my best friend at first, he was like, I didn't know why you were talking to me because I was not giving you anything. Like you were talking so much, and I was just like kind of like being my quiet self, and I was like, yeah, I talked to you because I thought you were a cool person. Like there's nothing else to it. It's so funny.
But yeah, anyway, internet friendships are just as good. Yeah, and I still hang out with that group as well. Like, still, Adam is the one who joins the party still the most. Yeah. But they often, because I'm in the same room usually, they often ask about me or, like, want to talk to me for a second as well. And it's very funny. So it's great.
I mean, how many, like, gamers out there can, like, relate to these stories?
So many. Like, I've read so many stories about people, like, throwing birthday parties online and all that. And or, like, ordering pizza for each other and all that. It's so cool.
I've seen, like, videos of people saving each other's lives. There was this, like, one video where, like, a guy was having a seizure. And
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it was, like, viral at some point. And this person, he was in a voice chat with someone playing a game, and this person was like, oh, something is happening, and they actually called like the ambulance. And I was like, oh my god, like that's incredible. So yeah, like there's so many stories where like it doesn't always have, like, again, it doesn't have to be romantic. You
doesn't have
like,
to be romantic. I have normal friends as well. Everyone.
No. Yeah, but sometimes it can be easy, you know, like find someone, and that's kind of like the beauty in it, where you find someone that it's not like looks or it's just
that's
your
the
personality.
You just get to know someone as they are, and it's great. I love
it's the entire opposite of like dating apps, you know, where you swipe right, swipe left based on looks. Online it's just like, hey, you have a pretty cool personality and you like the things
I like,
so let's just be friends. And that's just amazing to me. Like in real life it's not as easy to just go up to someone and be like, yo, like let's be friends, you know. There's kind of like a social hurdle that you have
isn't
to overcome.
Isn't that what we did?
Yes. Exactly what how it went. But no, like I mean, that's kind of like elementary school as well, where you go up to someone like, hey, can we play? You know, I miss that. Like, can we bring that back? Like, why do we need to have a reason to talk to someone? Can't we just like walk up and be like, yo, your shoes are lit. Let's like have a beer or something, you know?
You could always do that to me. I would love that.
We're already friends.
if someone listening, if they see me on the street and they're like, damn, that shirt's cool. Please come tell me.
But I put so much effort into my outfits every single day. Please, someone just come up to me and be like, I love your style. But yeah, and you mentioned it before, like ordering pizzas or throwing birthday parties, even in times of COVID.
Yeah, that's like the thing. Now all of a sudden, everyone's part. Like everyone
starts
playing Among Us together. I've seen a bunch
huge,
of people do that. Video calls, whatever, just using social media to stay connected. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's acceptable, but when it's someone you haven't met before, it's stigmatized, and like, why?
Yeah, I mean, like you said,
but I love it though. I love that social media is helping us through COVID.
It's amazing. Great. I love like seeing those like watch parties and like, you know,
it's
like
great.
Playing games together. It's so much fun. And I wish there was like more initiative from like, I don't know, schools
from COVID, so I wouldn't say we're almost done, but we're starting to get to the ending of the pandemic here in Belgium. Maybe very...
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Very carefully said. Mm-hmm. And like only recently they started a gaming server, even though that was something like on Discord, that was something they could have done ages ago. But mm-hmm. I'm kind of like...
Yeah.
Initiative, guys. Come
definitely
on.
Definitely, they're kind of behind almost, you know?
Yeah.
We've seen so much, like other schools or, like, even other programs who do have that kind of stuff, that connection, I think, is...
Yeah.
It's important. It's not just... But not just with COVID.
The sad thing about it is, like, especially during COVID, is that some first years have never seen anyone on their course, which is just... sad. Like, that's like a whole year of just not knowing anyone, and
it must be like so much harder to make friends as well if you can't like see their face.
I'm so happy that we were first years.
I am so incredibly like face blind, and like I don't know names, and I'd be lost. I would have no friends. I'd be like,
I would have an entire year of no friends. It would be awful. But yeah, it definitely is helping, and I mean hoping there'd be more initiative, but other than that, it's definitely good. Aside from that, there's also like a lot of online communities, especially if we take it back to gaming.
Yeah, we've slightly discussed the online communities, but they exist and they're out there. They're out there. Find them.
Yeah, but it's very easy to find them. If you just like me, join Twitter and type in gaming, mm-hmm. you'll definitely find some people into that.
Yeah, I know personally from like, I know it's kind of like a lame website, but like Reddit has
I'm on Reddit
huge,
as well, don't worry about it.
They have, no, but they have like this huge like looking for groups or looking for friends with gaming. That's how I met my best friend, you know, through this girl that I met through Reddit, through her.
Yeah, it definitely helps, but there's also like just the whole feedback and all that aspect of it as well. Like, I can give a very recent example, which is what I was discussing this weekend. Returnal came out, which is a new PlayStation 5 game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a PlayStation 5. I haven't played it. It looks super cool, though. It's a roguelike game, meaning that every time you die, you progress, like Hades.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that there is no way to save in the middle of a run. As in, like, in Hades, you can quit your game and you can just, like, turn off your Switch and then restart. Like, as in, you boot the game back up, you press continue.
Mm-hmm.
And the game just keeps going from where you like ended it. You can't do that in Returnal. The way to save between brackets is put your PlayStation in rest mode, which means you can't play any other game or do anything else with your PlayStation except playing that game. So if your friends are like, "Oh, let's put in a quick match of Call of Duty or Overwatch or Fortnite or whatever," you can't, because you would lose hours on your run.
Yeah.
And runs take up to, I've seen people do runs in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you can lose hours of progress, and that's like not taking into account that your PlayStation might do an update and you lose it. It might just, your internet might just crash. It's gone. Everything's gone.
So what you're getting at
is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, she's getting there, guys.
I'm getting there. Is that there's been a whole discussion about that now. So people are obviously complaining about that online. Housemark, who made the game, have responded to it and that they're looking into it.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's not the point of their game.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also people defending it who are like, yeah, but this is a roguelike. And I'm like, yeah, but other roguelikes have it.
Yeah, but I think what you're trying to say is going on a tangent here.
Yeah, I needed to get this out. No, it's about the feedback. Yeah.
And I think social media is huge.
And as a
game company or as a dev or as whatever, you have to be present on
social media. This is not the only case of that. There's
no, absolutely
like,
not.
There's
so many cases. There's so many things where like games that take things from like community feedback, I think, are the best ones because they listen to the player base and they're like, you know what, we hear you. We're gonna implement this feature, and
especially if it's like a reasonable feature. Mm-hmm. It's definitely...
Obviously, you have to be mindful. There's a lot of people out there that demand the craziest stuff. But like I said, you need that social media presence, and it's amazing for giving feedback as well. Like, I think everyone should do it. You know, like, it can't hurt to.
That's literally my Twitter. I just constantly give
just
commentary. No, not complain per se. Just, I love the games I play usually. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't be playing them. But I do give like feedback about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, this week I was complaining.
At least it's not like Steam forums.
Steam forums are a mass fun. But the thing about social media is it's just not feedback. It's also like guides and helping you and all that.
We like, I lightly touched upon like the whole like cheat codes for Grand Theft Auto, like back in the forum days.
But just not that. How many times are you stuck at a level and are you just like, how to get past this level in Google?
The amount of times where I was like a 10-year-old playing like DS games thinking, oh, I wish Let's Plays already existed. Like, imagine that. Like, we cannot really... I mean, they existed, but not like the way we know it right now in video form, like YouTube. Oh my God.
Dude, I'm playing Persona 5 right now, and I literally have it. Every time I play, I have a tab open with all the answers to the questions that they ask you in class.
Oh yeah, to get like better.
Just to get the stat up. I'm like, yeah, I'm not that smart. I'll just have the guide open.
That's amazing. Like, and then you're gonna have like the discussion where it's like, oh, do you prefer playing with a guide or do you prefer going in blind?
I usually go in blind on my first playthrough, but considering this is Royal and I've played all this before in the normal one, and also because these are just the school answers, they don't matter to the story at all. This is literally just to get your knowledge stat up.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like, I'll look it up.
Usually I am the same way, just because for me it's like I hate picking like the wrong options. Every time I play a game where it's like you have to make your character stronger or whatever, I'm gonna look it up because I would hate to choose the wrong thing.
For me, because like games like Telltale's Walking Dead or Mass Effect, where you have to make like choices that influence the story.
Yeah, that's different.
I don't want to look those up.
No, story, I think like story-based things, unless you're like going for a very specific like route or something in a game.
Yeah, but you don't do that on your first, at least I don't do that.
No, absolutely not, no. It's more like choosing which, like when I first, like Hades as well, when I first started playing Hades, I would be like, which boon is the best to use?
Yeah.
Because I was terrified of picking the wrong boon, but then I realized like it doesn't matter, like they all go away anyway, so I'm just gonna pick whatever and see what's right for me. But like with a lot of games where it is like kind of permanent upgrades or something, I'm like, no, I want to be the best there is.
What's the best to update first?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what is like the best weapon to use? Yeah. And But yeah, exactly, for like more like story based things, I just pick whatever and I see
especially on first playthrough, I'm kind of like, I'll just go with my gut feeling, and then if it ends up wrong, I'm sad, but...
Yeah. And if you want to like complete the game, you're like, oh, I want to do all the routes, I want to have like the entire story, then you're going to have to find a guide. Or like do it like they did in the old days, just keep playing until
you... trying.
Oh my God, I can't imagine... Like, that's kind of, like, one thing where I'm pretty happy that I never had to do, just, like, figure stuff out by myself, because I remember, like, back in the early days of playing Pokemon, where I had no idea what I was doing, like, absolutely zero idea, and I was like, this game sucks, because I have no idea what's going on.
Do I need to use?
Yeah, like there was a time where I didn't know how like PC boxes worked, so I just kept the same six Pokemon in my team.
The first Pokemon I played was Emerald, and the first time I played it, I just had my Torchic and no other Pokemon.
Like just nothing.
Nothing. Torchic only one. It was me and my Torchic, and that was it.
Did you beat the game?
No, because I was way too young. I didn't understand how it worked. I was just like, I know there's that tutorial where you have to catch a Pokemon, so I had that second Pokemon, but other than that, it's just me and my Torchic.
That's amazing. Yeah,
it's just me and my Torchic.
It should be a movie. Just me and my Torchic.
Instead of Detective Pikachu, just me and my Torchic.
So yeah, thank you for all the people who make those game guides. And
you're like, real heroes.
You're amazing. Honestly. Keep making them. Keep posting them everywhere.
And then there's the other thing about reviews that also obviously get posted online all the time.
That's
on social media.
And especially as like journalism students.
Considering I want to do this as a job.
I would love to do it. Maybe not in gaming, but writing
reviews. I
want to
do it in gaming specifically. Yeah.
You can never please everyone.
So many people are always upset.
There's always, like, that's the thing you have to know about, like, reviews. And if you're one of those people that reads reviews and thinks, like, oh, this is, like, absolutely not correct. What the hell are they writing here? Like, just think that there are opinions, you know?
Yeah, there are opinions. But also, like, sometimes they get upset at reviewers for not being good at a game or something. And it's like, yeah, but they're playing like 5 games this week that they have to review. Calm down.
I mean, not everyone can be good at every game.
Yeah, and
I
also that.
I do think there has to be some kind of like knowledge or like some research. You have to like do research. You like, have to know what you're talking about.
For example, you won't make someone who doesn't like or hasn't played previous Kingdom Hearts games play Kingdom Hearts 3. That would be
and
stupid.
Review it.
And
review
that would be stupid.
It would be fun. It's just like trying to figure out what is going on in the
stupid.
Game.
But it's the same with like, for example, Doom, the new Doom game, Doom Eternal. If you're not a fan of the Doom franchise, don't review that, for example. I do get that people have that complaint. If you're not a fan of that genre or that kind of game, don't review it.
It could be. I'm kind of seeing it both ways, where it's like it could be interesting for someone who doesn't usually play those kinds of games to like go ahead and play it and review it.
I feel like if you don't like that genre, you could be biased against.
Yeah, but if you do like the genre, you could be biased for, and you could like write extremely positive reviews. And there's always going to be a bias. That's the thing, right? But it could be nice to hear like from different sides. You know, for example, I'm gonna throw something out there. I used to hate like simulation games. Life simulation games are awful. I would have never gone into Animal Crossing if it wasn't so huge and if everyone wasn't like being like, yes, you need to play this.
It's because I played it. I was like, Manon, you have to play this.
No, I saw so much and I was like, because I saw so much online and social media.
Yeah,
like, huge.
The social media.
And
huge.
I was like, you know what? I might try it. I have a Switch. Why not? I'm just going to buy this game. If it's not for me, it's not for me. I ended up enjoying it so much. I still think life simulation games are awful. But
she cannot, for the life of me, get into Stardew Valley.
No, and like Sims. And like, I tried Sims and I made, like, I just...
I tried Stardew Valley as well, I think. I thought you had
Yes, I had. I have Stardew Valley. I've played for like half an hour. I was like, no, this is not for me. So it's like one of those things where it could be good to branch out. Like, same with Hades. Roguelites.
Yeah.
Ew.
I'd never played a rogue before, but Hades was so fun. And that's why I kind of want to try Returnal as well, because I'm like, actually, this is kind of fun.
You know, I'm definitely more open now for like different genres where... Whereas before, I would probably be like, oh, nah. Like, when I was younger, when I grew up, I wasn't a huge fan of, like, shooters or, like, FPS games. And now that's, like,
all
I play, basically. So, you know, it could be good. And it would be... It's nice to hear, like, or read reviews from people who aren't necessarily into it. Because then you can
but
see
their...
But I also
like to read reviews of people who are into it. Because usually, especially if it's a game that I'm into, I'm like, okay, how does it hold up for someone who's into it? You know?
Yeah.
I feel like because they're into the genre, they could give more nuanced commentary.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Which is something that I like to look for in reviews. But that's just a personal...
Yeah, but then my question is maybe to you. Before you decide to buy a game, do you like read reviews first and base your thoughts on like...
If I... This really depends because sometimes I'm like, I need to have this game no matter what people say about it. But if I'm like for Returnal, I was on the fence about it and I read some reviews, but also I don't want to read too much because I don't want to have it spoiled entirely.
I get that, It's
more like I don't really look at reviews that much. I more look at the general opinion on Twitter or on whatever platform I'm on. Like, you just type in the game and you see people who have the game post their first impressions and I'm like, okay, I could get into that.
Yeah, because for me, I don't really read reviews all that much, like full reviews.
I follow some friends of mine who actually do have a blog and write reviews, and then I kind of go out of my way to read them. But overall, I more look at the general consensus about a game. Like with new Pokemon Snap, I did it as well. I just looked
I mean, like you said, there are those games where you're gonna buy like new Pokemon games. I'm gonna buy that. I don't need the review for that. I don't need anyone's opinion.
Games out there that I'm like, they announced it. Like, there's not even a release date, and I probably have my pre-order already in.
So, but, like, one thing I do the most is actually listen to friends. You know,
listen to friends and listening to people online. I do like people I follow on Twitter. I do. Like, a lot of that. Just what do they think? Because at the same time, like, it's not that I don't like reviews, because I do read them sometimes, but just,
I think I value the opinion of my friends the most in that regard, because they're people that I get along with, and they've played games with, and they know what you like.
Yeah, that's the thing. They know what you're into, and, like, oh, they could say, oh, this is a good game, but it's not something you'd be into. Or like, which is fine.
You might be into it, but I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. Or like, let's try it out together. Maybe you'll enjoy it that way. Yeah. I do read a lot of like the Steam reviews, like, but like you have to take those with a grain of salt because
Steam reviews are sometimes so hilarious.
They're so funny, but like at the same time, there's like so many, like even with games that I love, like Dead by Daylight has so many negative Steam reviews, and it's like, oh, this game sucks and it's awful.
Something I wanted to bring up about the reviews. Remember was it the Dead by Daylight? How much did it get? The score? Was it IGN or GameSpot?
Yeah, it was IGN. Yeah.
And they did it with Overwatch as well. They re-reviewed that because they're live services, obviously, and they get updated a lot. And
I think it was for an anniversary as well. It might have been. I'm not sure.
And for Overwatch, it wasn't. I know that. But anyway, they posted a re-review and they gave Overwatch a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And then we had a good chuckle about it because I don't think it's a 10 out of 10 for either of us.
It's one of those things where you have to be like critical of the games you enjoy as well. But like, I get it though. Like,
it's a good live service game, but to say it's a, like, the 10 out of 10 is a perfect game.
I don't think I would give, like, any game a 10 out of 10.
I wouldn't give anything a 10 out of 10.
There's nothing that comes to mind where I'm like, ooh, this is a 10 out of 10. Even my favorite games, there are some flaws that I can think of, you know?
I'm thinking if I would give any game a 10 out of 10. Anyway, they did it with Dead by Daylight as well.
Yeah, there's so much. There was so much backlash. I don't think it was like a 10, but it got like a super high score. And the funniest part is that most of the like actual fans of the game disagreed. It wasn't like outside. It wasn't like the haters or anything. It was like the fans themselves, like, yo, like, this is so wrong. And it's so funny to me because, like, obviously, the more you play, the more you're going to find those flaws, and the more you're going to run into the things that, like, ooh, this is not something that I like, and, you know, that maybe it should change, because it's something that's so annoying. Like, for example, if you play Animal Crossing, at first everything is amazing, but then you realize, like, ooh, there's so much stuff that you could change and make this whole experience better.
If anyone listens to this, let me buy multiple Nook Mile tickets.
Absolutely. There's so many, like, changes they could make. And it's usually the games that I like the most that I'm the most critical of.
Definitely. And the only one that I would probably, like, I've been thinking now, that I would probably give one of the highest scores is probably Hades, because that game
Hades
was, like,
is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm still, I'm like, I can't really think of anything that I would change about this game.
I think one thing that I would maybe, like, I would love some DLC, but I don't think that's the kind of game it is. I don't think we're ever gonna get, like, more gods or more boons or more weapons.
So.
They could add an extra weapon, like, we don't know.
They could easily add some extra gold and extra weapons if they
Absolutely.
Wanted to, but that...
I think that's one thing where I basically maxed out. I have everything. I got all of the achievements.
I still don't.
I'm, like, 100 hours in, and I've done everything that I could have done. Like, obviously now, you could argue, like, oh, the real stuff starts now. You have to, like, finish runs as fast as possible. You get to, like, all the weapons
speed
and stuff.
Runs and a lot.
Yeah, and now it's, like, more about the, like, actual gameplay. But maybe, yeah, one thing I would add was more content. But, like, even then, it doesn't need more content.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily
know?
Need it, but it would be nice.
Like, that's just my, like, as a fan speaking.
Yeah.
But I want to see more of this game. Like, give me a sequel or something, you know? That's one thing I would personally add. But, yeah, there is not many flaws that I can find in the game, I think.
That's the 10 out of 10, guys. It's Hades. That's it.
I wouldn't say 10. Like, then I'm like, I'm so strict. There's, like, not much stuff that I've, like, media-wise that I'm like, oh, this is a perfect 10, you know? There's always, like, a flaw that I can find in it.
But, yeah. Anyway, reviews.
Reviews.
The only thing I do want to say about reviews is that, well, you might disagree with the review, and I don't really care if you agree or disagree. Just don't attack the reviewer.
Absolutely.
Please.
Or
I've seen so many people just, like, shit on reviewers that I'm like,
it's still their opinion. And everyone is entitled to their opinion. Even if it's a game that you really love and it got a bad score, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad game. There's one person that gave it a bad score. Even if
it's
multiple people.
And it's also
people.
Like, it's just a text they wrote. Like, calm down.
It's their job. They just do that. Like, another thing that we can maybe, like, discuss is social media. Like, people who run the social media accounts of the games are not the developers.
Yeah.
Do not attack those people if the game
Dude,
sucks.
So there was, I think it was the Destiny 2 thing account that announced something that broke. So they took it out of the game temporarily because it was broken. And they got so much hate. And I was like, this person is just announcing this. Them.
And like recognize that there are so many like different teams working on games. I'm gonna bring up Dead by Daylight again because this is a very like topical thing.
Yeah.
Where they are now currently like changing the models of the survivors, so they're upgrading the models, and so many people were like, "Fix your servers first." And it's like the art team is not the same team that does the coding or like takes care of the servers. Like, guys, please, like just think before you post anything online or like yell at our team or like at the social media person.
The social media team takes so much shit. I would never want to work
there. They're the real heroes of the real gaming heroes. Industry. Absolutely.
Speaking about perception and all that.
And attacking.
And attacking. There's also the way, and this is something...
This is very recent.
Yeah, very recent. Last week or so, Belgian media, there was a kid, a 19-year-old kid, who randomly stabbed someone 2 months ago on the street, and he only recently got caught. And he played video games.
Yeah, as many people do.
As many people do. And Belgian media, all of them, by the way, because I went to go immediately look, because I was like,
"Yeah,
Jesus noticeable. Christ. All of them posted gamer stabs whoever because he wanted to know what it feels like. That was the title used almost everywhere. And there was so much commentary. First of all, there was the commentary of like, "Oh, see, gamers are bad.
Yeah, yeah.
These games are corrupting our youth," all that jazz. And then there was obviously gamers themselves also reacting and saying, "Yeah, but it's not because one person does this that all of us are going to randomly start stabbing people."
It's again like this weird narrative that media has like spun around gaming, and it's always like it's so weird to me. Where
but
like
the thing about it is, it's proven that it's not true as well.
Yeah, and not just that, but like, why add the gamer to the title and to all of your quotes? Like, whenever when I opened a newspaper, that's the first thing I saw was "gamer kill someone," you know, or like "gamer this, gamer that." It's like,
yeah, and it was constantly in the article itself. Mm-hmm. He was constantly called gamer.
Yeah, and even
the
like,
gamer did this.
If you actually read the article, even like his parents were like, "Yeah, he played video games, but like he did, like that was not you know that."
They also said that he had mental health issues. Yeah. They were trying to get him help for that he couldn't get in time, apparently, obviously. But yeah, and the focus was still that he was a gamer.
Yeah, it's
and
just, it was, it's so
imagine
weird.
If he was a Game of Thrones fan or something.
Yeah, Game of Thrones
fan. Game of Thrones fan could stab someone.
Imagine if it was like someone who like played
chess.
Yeah, chess player stab. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you, like, that's just a hobby. And like, even if. And even after, like, his own family said that that was not the cause for, like, violence or anything, they would still, like...
So stupid.
And take it out of context. Like, if you just read, like, titles, that's huge on, like, social media. It's just, like, you see the title, and see maybe, like, the lead of the article a bit, and that's it. Like, most people don't click on them.
No,
like,
but they had people... to... I know a few of the sites that changed the title online, at least when you saw it in the preview thingy.
Yeah.
So that it just said young man stabs someone because he wanted to know what it feels like, which is already like
that's literally what it
better.
Is I mean, it's literally what happened, right?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the fact that he was a gamer, but because he games, they still
like, it's so strange to me. It's like, oh, they can like someone who plays video games, bam, that's it. Like
everyone... your only character trait, that's it.
Yeah.
You play video games, you're a gamer.
It's weird, and it's good that some websites did change it, because I think that's important. Because like I said, most people, they see the title, they're like, oh, retweet or reblog or share on their Facebook. And that's like, see, these video games, they're violent.
Yeah, they're bad for our children. They corrupt. But it's just something. And there was another thing, and that was this weekend, where they just... talked about, it was in a weekend edition of a newspaper where they talked about game addiction, and they talked about how games were aimed at men, only at men, apparently. And I was like, it's a bit weird, but okay.
Yeah.
There was, the full thing said that men are addicted more to games than women, which is something
that's pretty fair.
That's something I can get into, that I'm probably like, okay, yeah, but I can understand that. And then he kept going on about how it was made by men for men, and that they were competitive and violent, and that was it.
Yeah.
That's all games are, competitive and violent and aimed at men.
It's so
all
weird
other games
how
don't exist.
Like, gaming is so mainstream right now, but it's strange and
how much misinformation, like how much wrong
information is around about it. I don't really get how like the media is still jumping on this whole gaming thing as something to be feared or like.
Yeah, and like it's really like I did a 5-minute Google search in how true this was. About how many men and women play video games at the moment. It's almost 50-50,
yeah.
Which is a 5-minute Google search, and they couldn't even do that. And I was like, if this was any other article about anything different and they spread information with numbers wrong like that,
yeah,
it would be a disaster.
I mean, like, we as journalism students hate that even more.
Yeah, we are critical.
It puts the media in such a bad light once again. And it's like, them, is this really the industry that I'm going to be working for? Or, like, I hope something changes, but, you know, like.
Yeah, we're very, so if we see mistakes in newspapers and all that, it's always a good laugh.
I think we're, like, definitely, like, zoom in, like,
yeah,
get
we
on.
Are,
like,
we are immediately like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Because it's drilled into us.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I think we can talk about this because it's something that literally daily we're you know, we have to
check,
deal with.
Double check is one of our mottos. So, yeah.
It's Belgian just media, you can do so much better.
Truly. Truly. So sad. But the thing about it is the newspaper I saw it in also has a separate gaming like part, and there they do so well. I wrote an entire run about on Twitter, like an entire thread about it, so I don't understand how they can do so well in that department, but then in their main newspaper they screw up like that. And it's like, why didn't you let the guy who writes the other part, the other gaming stuff, do this? Because he would probably go, wait a minute, this is not this is not right. But yeah, it's just something that bothers me a lot.
Game for Talk podcast. Reflections on ethics and gaming. With Roof Emano.
So yeah, I think we're about the end of the episode right now. We discussed so much. We discussed
all over the place.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We there's so much to say about social media and media in general video games. We discussed like how our own dependency on social media, how we got our start. We discussed, you know, like how games and social media are connected, like how feedback communities.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. We talked about game reviewers and reviews in general. And then we talked about how the media treats games still and how that's still a bit old school, maybe, and how they should change. But yeah, like, we're at the end. This was a very fun discussion, I think.
Yeah, I think it was one of our better ones. We've been here for a while now.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the longer episodes, and it was worth it to discuss.
I think so, yeah. We had a lot to say.
Ruth, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at FearTheFairy99 for my gaming rambles.
Yes, and please check her out. Because if you like gaming rambles, that's all she does.
That's it.
You can find me on Instagram at manon.comm.
You can find Quindo on quindo.be and on Instagram as well.
Yeah, and be sure to check out the Twitch of DIE as well. They're going to be posting another live stream the 20th of May.
Yep. They also have a website.
They have a website.
Hoasdie.be, I think.
Yeah, just be sure to check them out. You can find them. Check out all of their socials. And yeah, this was it. Anything else you want to add to the discussion?
We'll see you next month, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Where are we going to discuss mental health?
Mental health in video games.
Yeah, another big one.
Important topic to discuss.
A very important one. So we'll see you then and have a good day.
Bye-bye.